Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome into the Blitz live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 105.7. This is the Blitz. This is Brandon Orrick. You got Chance Collins and Charlie Collier in here as well. Rick Butler may or may not be here.
He's taking the day off.
He's got TBD.
To be announced.
Car
to be determined.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
What did you think I said?
I don't know what you said. I feel like everything's at it. Just put it out there. Everything's thrown off. I get here today, Robbie, or the Bear, excuse me. Called him by his government name. The Bear on the drive. He's just parked, like, blocking everyone at the station. I pull in. He's parked right behind Houston Crest. I can't even pull in.
Dude. Yeah, no, he parked in front of me and just blocked the entrance
comes.
And exit.
You don't count. You don't matter.
And here he
I matter. I count. You don't even have a mic right now. You don't even have a mic right now.
You can turn that one on.
Here he comes.
I don't use the intern mic.
I feel like my equilibrium's all messed up. I didn't get my normal parking
spot. I mean, what's your problem, man?
I had to park on the street.
Even if I had pulled all
I'm
the way
flustered.
In behind everybody else, you got here at like 2 minutes before your show starts. I mean, once again, reaffirming that you were properly nicknamed almost 5 years ago as Cutting It Close Collins.
First of all, he doesn't know how everything works in the morning. I get here at that time because
I know how things work when I hit the station, Chancellor.
We have a podcast guy. Sometimes he takes a little bit.
Podcast guy.
Yeah, the guy before us. Sometimes they take a little bit. So I actually get here on time.
You tried dealing with Hayden Wallen and the Talk Sports guys.
No, not at all.
I mean,
no,
it smells
no,
like a
no.
zoo in here you when we come in here.
Hayden is like 12 minutes late. Generally, I'm just
yeah,
saying.
But then he has to sit in here during the first segment of the drive.
I have the best podcast hands at the station.
I just feel like Robbie threw off the equilibrium today. He really did. Now he's coming here and he's hijacking the show. That's what he does.
All right, Daddy Chance.
Daddy Chance,
yeah.
I love you to death. You just you
threw everything. Daddy Chance,
you threw everything off today. I love you.
You got up on the wrong side of the bed. I want you to admit that. I know when you're sleepy.
No,
You just woke up.
No, my allergies are bad today. That's one thing. It's the allergies. Can you hear that in the voice? It's the raspiness.
It just sounds to me like
pollen.
You just rolled out of bed personally. Where's the other member of your private think tank of geniuses?
I just got a communique saying he is on the way.
Okay. That's good. All right. I got to go let Houston out now.
Yeah, because you blocked him in.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You blocked him in.
I mean, yeah, there's a reason I parked where I parked.
What is it?
Yeah, what is that reason?
I don't want to talk about it on air.
No, okay.
Okay. Well, so we'll talk about it during the break? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hold on. They're glaring. Boss is glaring at me.
I'm happy to see you.
Yeah. Right,
now you
okay.
should go
Well,
move
I mean,
for...
maybe you should act like it, Chance. I see you very rarely now because I've been quarantined and in treatment.
I know, and you're going through treatment.
Yeah,
and I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chance. I had to stop halfway home because my head was swimming from treatment this morning. There, you feel better now? That's why, Chance.
Oh my God! All right,
this thing's really tight. I'm trying to move it back.
Well, okay.
What a start to the show.
What a start to the show out the A block. I love it. So, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Charlie?
I'm a little just rattled.
That's what happens. He's like he's a bull in a china shop.
I forgot Adam Hickman started today, too, as the new three and out. New Alex is just Adam now. So he's here. There was a new truck here that I wasn't used to. And then, you know, Bear blocked the entrance and exit.
The Bear.
That was confusing.
The Bear.
It'll all be okay. It'll all be okay. We're settling in. We're settling in. Got a good show for you today. Like I said,
Rick, did you ask Chance?
No, nobody asked me. I feel okay. Like, I feel great. Just allergies. The allergy season is really hitting me now. My voice is almost gone. It's very raspy. I'm talking very nasally, talking through my nose. Like, it's been tough on me these last couple of days.
Well, Chance, if you wanted some positive news about the environment, the cicadas are here. They've come out.
Yeah, I saw the video that you sent me.
That is, I think, in Middle Tennessee, so maybe they haven't quite come out here in East Tennessee. Or do they even get them as bad?
The 30 years. I
don't know.
I haven't seen or heard them.
No, they're coming.
Yesterday they started showing up in some places in Tennessee.
Yeah, they're here.
Does Knoxville, I don't know,
We didn't have them, like, whenever they were real bad in Middle Tennessee, I guess, like, 7-8 years ago, whenever it was. It wasn't bad up here. Because we were talking about that like a couple months back on the show. Like, you know, we were informing Rick and he was like all surprised about it. But like, you could hear them on the interstate driving down 24, but they weren't bad in Knoxville. They were just bad in Middle Tennessee for whatever reason.
So the cicadas are on their way.
Maybe it's the climate, the climate change.
The
topography.
Little Tennessee baseball news as Danny White is set to open things up this weekend. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. Also, Charlie, you said yesterday that yesterday was a big day for Nashville and the Predators. How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, even for people that aren't really hockey people, I think, you know, something that you can appreciate, obviously, is that the impact that Pecorine, the Predators goalie, has had on not only Nashville and the city, but just kind of Southern hockey. Southern hockey's taken off, and the game's really grown a lot in the South, and that's a lot of it has to do with the Predators and their success. And, you know, nobody screams Preds more than Pecorine. Unfortunately, though, his career's kind of winding down. He's been replaced by UC Saros, who's played really well. But the Preds clinched the playoffs Saturday night, so Monday night they got to put Pecorine out there in goal, they sold out their allotted tickets. Tickets were going for $300 and really just celebrate him one more time. And in a way, for creating big moments that only he can do, really, it feels like. He always just seems to rise up to those special occasions. He put together a nice little shutout in a 5-0 victory against the first-place Hurricanes. And it was electric. The people after the game stood and did not stop cheering and giving him a standing ovation for at least 10 minutes. They played a nice video tribute to him. People were breaking out in tears. I was sitting on my couch crying, but it was just really a nice special moment.
You cried?
I cried my eyes out.
You're a big crier with sports.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Pecorine is what got me into hockey. He's like, you know, the first name I knew, the first player I loved, like the first jersey I had.
Was it Mike Fisher?
No, I mean, it was before Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher was not a Predator when I was a Preds fan. And, you know, that was just kind of – it was just a really special moment. It was kind of like saying goodbye to a piece of your childhood, I guess. It was sad.
So how long had he been there? How long had Pecorine been with Nashville?
Ooh, I'm trying to think of the exact year. I know he's like 39 now. It's at least like
I'm looking it up.
I'm also Googling it.
So that was his last hurrah.
His career started
Nashville
in 2001.
Since 2001. So 20 years.
And he made his...
Made
his debut
bad.
In 2004,
yeah,
I
2004.
Think.
Yeah, you're correct. So...
So
17
I mean,
years. So quite a long time to be with one team.
Won the Vezina 1 year. Helped lead him to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people will.
One of the best Finnish players of all time will for sure be a Hall of Famer. and also just has been regarded as one of the best and just nicest people to play sports in this state.
Yeah, he's always been a fan favorite. So I'm sure, like, if you know, you're a diehard Preds fan, a lot of diehard Preds fans are going to miss him. And it's pretty cool they gave him the right send-off.
Yeah, the Preds are vibing. The Preds are playing very good hockey right now, peaking at the right time, heading into a playoff series with Carolina next week at some point.
We might get into that a little bit more a little bit later on. Also, Tennessee baseball, along with the news from Danny White, has a game tonight against Tennessee Tech, a little warm-up game before you bring the number one team in the country in this weekend. Also, did y'all see this crazy story about the tiger that was loose in Houston? Did y'all see that yesterday?
Yes.
It's insane.
Did you hear the follow-up to the story?
No. Save that for later.
The follow-up's even better.
All right. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Like I said, I got a communique from Rick Butler moments ago saying that he is on his way, so he'll be here soon. 865-546-8200 is our number.
Oh, Rick just tweeted, too. Somebody get the Blitz back on the rails. Somebody get the Blitz together. It's off the rails, and I'm in a Lyft on Clinton Highway. Pretty typical that he would call a Lyft instead of an Uber. That's a real Rick move.
Maybe there were no cars available.
Yeah, maybe there were just no Ubers available, and he had to go with the Lyft. Anyways, Rick is on the way. That's good.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will dive into a little bit of Tennessee baseball. You listen to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. .1017 back on the Blitz. A little bit of news from the Tennessee baseball side of things. As Danny White announces that Lindsey Nelson Stadium will be operating at 100% capacity for this weekend's series against Arkansas. And apparently, I was talking to Nate this morning. Apparently, the games for Friday and Saturday had sold out, and apparently they found more tickets. So,
are they bringing in more bleachers like they did before?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they're doing it. I'm not sure if they're bringing in some more bleachers or how they're finding more seats. But they have found more tickets. So if you want to try to get out there, I would try to snatch those up as quick as you can. Because I would imagine that those tickets are going to go fast.
It's pretty awesome that we announced 100% capacity and pretty much immediately sold out tickets. I was kind of interested how the environment would be, especially with, you know, a lot of the students gone. But if we're selling out all the regular tickets, you know, I think that'll make up for it and then some. I think, you know, this is a crowd that's ready to explode this weekend. That's a town that's really excited to get out there and fill up a stadium and be a national story, be part of the national college baseball conversation.
Well, I mean, we had talked about it yesterday. The students will, most of the students will likely be gone. And you're going to have, I think the crowd will be great. You won't have that added student element to it, but I think it's going to be a great crowd. I think I saw the record crowd for Lindsey Nelson was like 5,000 something.
So that's getting broken.
Hopefully they can break that this weekend. But yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I said we should open the stadium to 100%, and then little did we know that later in the day Danny White would announce that attendance would be 100% for this weekend's series against top-ranked Arkansas. And it's going to be a big one. I mean, you've got two top five teams going at it for first place in the SEC. So it's going to be exciting. And then you got a home game tonight, warming up, getting ready for this weekend against Tennessee Tech and the Golden Eagles tonight.
Got to get this win tonight. Can't look forward like you did whenever you were playing Lipscomb. Kind of look forward to the weekend.
It'd be. I mean, we don't. It's not
It's not a must.
Not going to hurt you, but it'd be nice to keep that momentum rolling and heading into the Arkansas series.
Yeah, it'd be nice, like you said, to get the win, head into your Arkansas series. But like you hope they're not looking too far ahead, because you want to stay in the same rhythm that you've got going on right now. But this is a big weekend. I mean, we were talking about how big the Vanderbilt weekend was. I guess about a month ago. Now you're looking at number one team in the nation, 100% capacity. Like, this is what everybody wanted. This is the type of environment we were expecting for Vol baseball. Say you get a super regional in here. So, this is huge. This does make it one of the biggest ones now, since we get the 100% capacity and the amount of fans that you expect to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be the guy that buys into recency bias or, is trying to declare all hyperbolic things about what's going on currently, but it really does feel like this is the biggest series in potentially the history of this baseball team, at least regular season series. It's going to be pretty cool to get that crowd the way it is, because if we do host a regional or a super regional, obviously attendance will then go back to being capped at about 40 or 50%. That was, still mentioned yesterday in the statement that they made about, being 100% for this. But, by the way, so the 40 or 50% that the NCAA is doing for regionals and super regionals, what's to stop a team from just declaring their capacity at double what their stadium holds? What's to keep us from just that little area over in right field rolling in, 20 sets of bleachers saying, oh, these hold 5,000 people, and then just being able to add an additional 2,500.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that – I'm not sure exactly how that would work. But we'll see. Hopefully Tennessee's able to host one of those regionals or super regionals. But going back to how big this series is, like I said, this is a top five matchup in the country. Two teams atop their respective divisions in the conference, and they're tied for first place overall in the SEC.
Yeah.
Tennessee's not won the SEC since 1995, regular season or conference tournament.
Tennessee were to beat Arkansas this weekend, you think that can propel them to, if they take the series to number one, could they make that big of a jump?
I think, part of it would depend on what Vanderbilt does and what Mississippi State does in front of them. But certainly I feel like if you take two out of three from the number one team in the country, you have a pretty good argument to then replace them, especially if you're already sitting at number four. Now, if you were to sweep Arkansas, I think you'd have a pretty good case for it. But this weekend, Vandy plays Ole Miss, and Mississippi State plays Missouri. So, Ole Miss can easily take one from Vanderbilt, and that could help you jump Vandy in the rankings. Ole Miss is all but assuredly going to sweep Missouri. I don't know if, that would be enough to catapult them, though, beating Arkansas, since you're just one spot behind them, given the difference in level of competition.
Yeah. Either way, big win if they're able to take this. Really kind of shows where we already know where the program is now, but even more puts you on the map, taking out the number one team. Like you say, tied for first right now, puts you in sole possession of first if you can go ahead and do that.
And kind of switching gears a little bit, as far as we've talked about in recent weeks about locking up Tony Vitello. There's going to be I think there's going to be a few suitors come after him this offseason. I think you have to lock him up. You have to. I think if Tony Vitello stays here, I think he will be the winningest coach in Tennessee baseball history.
If he stays here for another 10 years, he'll completely transform this program to a sustainable point. It'll be, 10 years from now, Tennessee is a perennial top five team, a perennial team that pumps out MLB draft picks, a perennial contender for Omaha. I mean, he is just that kind of talent.
And you'd have to think by that time, too.
Anything less than a blank check is inexcusable.
Yeah, and by that time, too, you'd have, like, some of the best facilities in the country.
Yeah, and I saw this stat from Callum on Twitter. He tweeted yesterday. I saw it this morning. All-time UT coaching record for baseball. Tony Vitello is fourth all-time already in just really 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years and only played 17 games last year due to the COVID-shortened season. He's already fourth all-time, 24 games behind the next. I mean, I think if he stays here, if we can lock him up, I think he becomes your all-time winningest coach in UT baseball.
Yeah, no
and like
about
Charlie
it.
Said, has a chance to kind of transform this program and the perception of this program.
I mean, yeah. he can be what Tim Corbin was at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was nothing before him. I mean, it was a job that you were like, are you sure you don't want to coach high school baseball? Like, you really want to go coach Vanderbilt? And now, you know, when we think Vanderbilt, we immediately associate it with national championships, with top talent in the country, you know, with guys that are performing at the highest level in the MLB. And that's what I think Tony Vitello can be for us. Obviously, we weren't where Vanderbilt was. We were a program that had, you know, some good history, some good years. And
yeah, I mean, you had success under Delmonico in the 90s and early 2000s. So it's not like that you're working with nothing, but it had been a while. It had been a while.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get a coach like that, I mean, it's kind of the same way we talked about Rick Barnes. Like, you come in, and once you start winning, and you establish yourself at that level, and that's what Tony Vitello has done. That's what we're talking about. If you keep him long term, if you lock him up, that is where the Tennessee baseball program will stabilize itself as one of the top in the country. Just the same way as, although we haven't seen the postseason success from Rick Barnes and in basketball, now he's stabilizing himself as one of the top programs in college basketball where people want to come, high-level recruits, and that's what you'll see with baseball.
Yeah, and I think you're already seeing it. Mm-hmm. You're already starting to see those results in just 4 years. So,
I mean, a couple years now in a row that you've had draft picks at a high level. You saw Garrett Crochet come in and make an immediate impact for the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this would be three seasons
Nick
in a row.
With the Reds organization.
Right. I mean, but this will be like 3 years in a row now that he's pulling in consistently top five classes. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we're losing players in our class to the MLB draft, which is a sign of, you know, you're doing a pretty good job with your program if you're starting to get to the point where players are, you know, bouncing out of your class to go play in the MLB.
That's a good sign.
Everything he's done, man, from day one, every word he has said, every action he has made, it feels like the dude can't miss.
You
know, it feels like he's just right on with everything he does.
He's brought the swag. He's brought the winning mentality. And even when he didn't have the guys that he needed on his roster in the first year, he kind of built those guys up. He's brought everything that you want to propel a program. And at the same time, he's brought all that, and he's backed it up too with everything that he said, as Charlie said, everything that he said when he came in, and he's backed it up.
I mean, I just remember being a freshman, you know, working for the Daily Beacon and covering Tennessee baseball for their Fall World Series and looking around, and there wasn't anyone else in the Knoxville media there at all. Just thinking to myself, wow, like, this is really how bad this baseball program is. And, you know, getting to talk to Tony Vitello after some of those practices, you could just tell, like, hey, this guy, if anyone can do it, it's going to be him. I mean, he knows what he's doing. This is an exceptional hire that we just made.
I said earlier the record attendance for Lindsey Nelson Stadium was about 5,000, a little over. The exact number is 5,086, set back in May of 1995 for an NCAA regional championship game against Oklahoma State. So we'll see if Tennessee fans can pack in there this weekend and break that record.
It's getting broken.
I think so too. I think people are hungry. People want, like I said yesterday, I think the weather's supposed to be really nice too. It's not supposed to be too hot. It's supposed to be almost perfect. So looking forward to that coming up this weekend. 865-546-8200. Take a quick break. Listen to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
With the bear, he kind of messed up parking. My allergies are kind of bad, but we're making it. A little raspy today.
My rideshare guy was like, "This is the show that you're going to right now?" And I was like, "Yeah, it is." And he's like, "Well, they sound a little hectic right now." And I was like, "Nah, it's just every morning. Every morning we like to go off the rails at some point in the show, and it just happened to be at the beginning this time."
Yeah, just start at the beginning. Sometimes things like that, things happen.
So y'all got into a little baseball conversation that last segment, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee Tech on the menu tonight.
Well, mainly about the 100% capacity for this weekend series.
Man, that's exciting, isn't it? Full stadium for this weekend. What do you think? Are you counting this as a bigger game than the Vanderbilt series?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it just because of the number one ranking, or what kind of goes into that?
Top five matchup. Tony Vitello going up against his old school.
Mm-hmm.
First place in the SEC.
100% capacity. Like the full, you know, fans and the amount of the expectations of it all.
That's the biggest thing for me is the ability to be in sole possession of first place. And it's not like, you know, you're in sole possession and you got a month to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Sole possession with one weekend left after this. That, you know, the opportunity for that is just incredible.
Yeah, I think that you guys absolutely have hit it on the head. And we'll be getting ready for this weekend. Hopefully, you guys will be able to be out there, be with the people, be hanging out at the ballpark. Hopefully, you guys at the table. I don't know if you guys have tickets or if you plan to go or anything, but hopefully, if you do get to go out there, it is a ton of fun. And yeah, Tennessee baseball does play Tennessee Tech tonight at the ballpark in Knoxville, and that game will be at 6:30 p.m. on, I believe, the SEC Network Plus. So you can catch up a little bit of Tennessee action. On the Watch ESPN app. So check in with a little bit of Tennessee baseball action before this weekend starts. But how about the basketball court? Talking about a series coming up this weekend in baseball, well, we got to look ahead on basketball, but Tennessee adds in a brand new non-conference series, a home-and-home series. So next year, we will play a home basketball game against the Arizona Wildcats. And then I believe the following year, so 2022-2023, Tennessee is traveling to Arizona. Is that correct?
Yes. That was announced last evening.
Very nice. What's your thoughts? Does this one excite you?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't have quite the same luster that, say, a home and home with Arizona would have like 10 years ago. Or even 5-6 years ago. They've kind of fallen off. They're not that great. Sean Miller's fired. They got a new coach. So it's not – I like it. I mean, you're playing a Power 5 team. Arizona's got some pretty good basketball history, but it's just not the same as it would have been a few years ago.
Arizona's in Tucson, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it'll be – I mean, when you head out to Tucson in a couple years, I think that'll be really neat. Just because, you know, it's unique. It's something that we're not used to. Seeing Tennessee play out there in Tucson, I mean, just the differentness – that's not a word.
Difference.
The difference from that game and you know, just, you know, your average yearly non-conference opponents, I think is always just a cool thing to see. You know, two teams that have – been historically, you know, better than others, getting to play each other. I love random basketball non-conference games. I would love to just play other random schools instead of, you know, more games against UNC Asheville and Tennessee Tech and schools like that, even though you need those.
I think that Arizona's new coach probably had a lot to do with that being from Gonzaga, given Tennessee and Gonzaga's they've played a lot in the last few years. I feel like we've played them almost every single year, or we're supposed to.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that too.
So Barnes and Few probably have a good working relationship, and carried over to, I guess, his top assistant. Barnes trying to help him out and getting that scheduled as well. Also, as far as the schedule goes for this upcoming basketball season, so you've got Arizona. I mentioned a couple weeks ago when Phil was on the phone, the 2021 Hall of Fame tip-off at Mohegan Sun. Tennessee, North Carolina, Purdue, and Villanova are in that. Tennessee also makes a trip to Boulder as Colorado came to Knoxville this past season. So mm-hmm. Tennessee playing Colorado on the road.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
And I think that's it for
now. You got Memphis, too, next year. Memphis in Nashville.
Oh, they pushed that back?
Yeah, they pushed that back. And then
is that official?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And then, you know, I think we're still kind of looking at maybe playing, making up the Gonzaga game that we missed last year, this year. I think there's talk of that.
Bring it on.
I would love
Bring
to.
Them on.
If you could add one more and team, if you could add one more team to the schedule, who would you add?
Probably Gonzaga. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love to see a great team. Like I if we're gonna add a hypothetical extra one right here, I would love to add a good team, man. Give us another high profile matchup. I'm not scared of those anymore.
I would love to play Loyola Chicago at home.
Oh wow. Wow, that's a thought.
Do you expect them to take a drop off?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Crutwood graduates and Porter Moser left. I expect them to fall right back off into the abyss of mediocrity. They lost. I mean, best player, star coach.
Still got Sister Jean, though.
Not for long.
You don't know that.
She's like 102.
She seems
ageless. Might not be here next season.
You can't say that.
No, you can't say that.
You can say it, but you can't say that about other people, but... I mean, I don't know. I just imagine Loyola Chicago coming in here and just dropping 40 on their heads, just not taking the starters out, you know, letting students have free reign to say however many offensive things you want to their coaching staff, fans, and players, and just kind of just erase all those demons.
Seems kind of petty, especially since their coach isn't there anymore.
I would still rather the high-profile matchup. I can see where that one's going, right? Because there is a little bit of history, but I wonder if it's the kind of history that Tennessee fans just want to keep in the bottom of the closet, tucked behind the shoes, and never go anywhere near again.
I think I would like to play Texas.
Oh, that's a great answer.
You get Barnes playing Texas, and then now they've got Chris Beard in there. That's a game that I think a home and home series that I think would be really fun.
Our women's That's basketball right team does that from time to time, and I actually do like tuning into that matchup because, like what you said, it's got a little fun. It's got fun ties into it. I think that'd be a great, great pick. I like that idea.
Hopefully, whoever picks the Big 12 SEC challenge can throw us a bone
You don't want to play Kansas for the fifth year in a row?
No,
I want to play Texas. So you knocked that out of the park, Brandon. Great answer. You made me change my answer. Screw Loyola Chicago. Give me fake UT.
Yeah. Let's take on the Longhorns.
Let's play a neutral site, too, in Birmingham, Alabama.
No, I want them to come here. I want to go there. I want to make it true. I don't like the neutral games. I mean, I know there's cool venues, and like when you get Memphis and Tennessee meeting in the middle in Nashville and Bridgestone, like that's pretty cool. That's a wondrous event. But
I hope we smack them,
I mean, let's
– I hope we smack them so bad. I hope we beat them by 50 points.
That was honestly going to be its own segment coming up next after I've looked back into it.
I hope that they put their walk-ins in when they're already down 30 and we just sub Kennedy Chandler and Hatfield back in and just throw up a nice little alley-oop and just nuts on the face of the walk-ons.
So that game will be played. It was rescheduled for December 18th, 2021. There you go. That's a little bit of a look about what is on the slate for Tennessee basketball coming up here in the next few years, but also coming up here next season as well. Hey, 865-546-8200. Give us a call. Otherwise, we're going to close out the first hour of the show right after this.
In 1934, Knoxville TVA...
All right, here we go. Final segment of hour number one here on The Blitz. You got Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you right now as we are making our way through the day a little bit, getting through a little Tennessee action as we talked about the baseball game. Some of the baseball news is as Lindsey Nelson returns to 100% capacity coming up for this weekend against number one Arkansas. Also talked a little bit about Tennessee's game versus Arizona, the home-and-home series that's coming up, and that daunting Memphis matchup coming up in December of this year. But before we get into anything else, let's hop over to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. We'll go to the phones and get a call from one of our favorites. Good morning, Philly. How you doing?
Good morning, Fabulous.
What's going on?
Glad to see you, good Mike. Well, you're doing your 3 o'clock prep on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Between last night, between this morning, I am without a car. I am without money. I'm without many things.
I hate that. I guess all the gas pumps dry now.
Okay, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Are gas prices about to spike?
Well, apparently there's a gas shortage coming on the way. I haven't had any trouble getting gas, though. I don't know about anybody
else. I haven't
else.
Either, but I have seen some videos of some gas stations starting to run out on Twitter.
Well, you know that down there on Middlebrook, that's where the Colonial Pipeline where this gas is supposed to come from. You know, I guess it originates in Texas and percolates its way all the way up through here. It goes to Nashville and here, and then goes up through Georgia, up into the Carolinas, up to the East Coast. So,
have you had problem getting gas?
No, I topped it off last night.
Okay.
Smart.
Smart move.
I mean, I'm probably last a week without gas. But
yeah, I heard about this first on Sunday. The other job from somebody, but like I said, I haven't noticed a shortage or anybody else talking about it recently.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, Chuck. I used to work at Daily Beacon, and that's where Paul Feinbaum started his trade. Did you know that?
Oh yeah.
I guess we're one and the same.
Paul.
So that's what
you probably got more. You got more hair than Paul Feinbaum.
I got more hair on my left knee than he has.
Gosh. Well, guys, I'm glad they can play in Arizona. That's a good intersectional game, and I can't wait to play Tiger High next year.
The NIT champs.
Yo, Penny will be getting on the hot seat there. Is he hinting on the tournament yet, has he?
Did they go that first year?
I thought they went the first year. Did they not?
Let me see.
Maybe they did not.
That what?
No,
the first year.
The first year was in Memphis.
No. He's saying he hasn't been to an NCAA tournament yet, and I thought he went in his first year.
He did not in his first year.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they've been since 2014, maybe.
Well, I thought he was going to, get him the promised land.
He got him to the NIT champs, though. No, yeah, I mean, can he be on the hot seat? He's Memphis's own. He's the golden son.
Well, yeah, but you know what happened to Fulmer. See what happened to Tennessee football, don't you?
Just very true.
Totally
God, and that's what's tough sometimes very about true. Bringing home, that prodigal son, if you will. Sometimes it's real hard to get rid of them, and we even saw that a little bit with, I think, Holly Warlick, right? It was a little bit tough in moments to kind of get to a new regime because you do have so much just ties to that person. That's why I sometimes get nervous about, again, bringing the prodigal son back.
And his recruiting has kind of fell off, as Brandon said, too.
Yeah, he is. That's kind of how did Kenny Chandler get out of Memphis to come here and not go there? That's kind of amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, since that James Wiseman class, I mean, you at least haven't heard about the recruiting that they've done. I don't know. Maybe they should have held on to Josh Pastner. ACC champs.
Yeah, honestly.
There you go. And
they had Tubby Smith in between,
though. A lot of people are leaving there, too. Of course, everybody's leaving the college basketball now. It's just a free-for-all.
In 3 years, he is 63-32. It's a 66% win percentage. So, I mean, he's 120 games every season.
Yeah. He's not doing too bad. But
yeah, but that's easy to do in the American.
Yeah, very true.
Guys, are they going to get any more transfers out there to get?
Are you talking football or basketball?
Football.
So, yes, there certainly are. I think there are always guys that you can go get and guys that I expect Tennessee to potentially be reaching out to. I think one of the One of the most interesting names that is still out there is the five-star linebacker who has mentioned Tennessee before. This is the linebacker, five-star linebacker Jordan Anthony. This is a guy who is a Michigan guy right now. So talk about the transfer portal. Talk about Joe Milton, who came over from Michigan. Could he be a guy that Tennessee reinforces the defense a little bit more with? That's just the biggest name that I have off the top of my head. But
hey, Tate Martell's still out there.
Is he still out there?
Wow. He's still somehow eligible. And
oh,
just
God, that guy's awful.
Wow. That is wild. Man. So there's a name for you, a five-star linebacker. But aside from that, I don't know any other specific names maybe off the top of my head right now. But I fully expect Tennessee to continue shopping around, even if they don't necessarily pull anybody in from here on out.
Isn't the linebacker's coach, did he come from Michigan?
Brian Jean Mary, he came from, yeah, he came from Michigan. That's exactly right. There you go. That's a linebacker tie right there.
So we do need another linebacker, though, don't we? What do you think about Henry T? Do you think he'll start at Alabama?
Yeah, I do.
I think he'll be a huge contributor. I think eventually he might get a starting spot, but I don't know too much about Alabama's offense or defense. I just know they're always really good. They always got good players.
Hardy's still out there in the portal too, by the way.
Oh, that's right, Jay Hardy. Yeah, that's another name that we've been talking about. With again, Rodney Garner ties.
I don't like Rodney Garner wants him, or they've already pulled the trigger on that.
I wonder. I do wonder about that too. Kind of why maybe, again, if you think there's a great relationship there, but maybe Tennessee's trying to hold off. It's interesting. But yeah, linebacker, defensive line, you can't bring it enough in. I really believe that going into next year. If there's a guy who wants to come to Tennessee and you feel like he can help, then I would do what I can.
Are you going to double dip again today?
I ain't leaving the station all day today. I can't leave. I have no vehicle.
That's impressive.
I will likely sleep here. I will sleep right out here in the vestibule. I will have a nice made breakfast for everybody in the morning. It will be very, very scrumptious.
I'm sure they'll enjoy it. See you.
Gracias, as always. Good stuff right there. Good stuff. Thank you for the call, as always.
I'm looking at the 24/7 sports transfer portal rankings that are in the guys that are still available.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to replace To'o with another Pacific Islander linebacker, Pele Gotuetui, the fourth, who was a five-star out of high school, a four-star in the portal, still out there from USC. And so is Juwan Mitchell's running mate, Aodel Adeoye.
Interesting. A couple of tough names there, as if we thought we got over the hump with To'o. That one actually looks easy in comparison to maybe those others. But we talk about this guy, Jordan Anthony, being a Michigan guy, and talking about Brian Jean Mary and Joe Milton, right? The connections there. Talk about the guy from USC, right? We've already pulled a defensive line from USC. Maybe there's even a little bit of a connection there. I really believe that when you look through kind of what Tennessee has available in the transfer portal, you can make these connections and you can kind of link these two things together and figure out what Tennessee might be kind of planning so far for the rest of the summer. But as things stand right now, not too bad. Not too bad the way that Tennessee has rebuilt some of the areas on this team. All right, hour number two up next. What is on the menu, my friends? What have you guys seen so far?
We've got Russell Westbrook breaking the triple-double record.
Okay, that's big. That's big.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about J-Lo and A-Rod.
Uh-oh.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck are back!
Now, I actually saw a TMZ report this morning that said that might be going all the way back to February. And if you remember, the A-Rod and J-Lo, they broke their engagement back in April. So, could we have home wrecker Ben Affleck on the loose?
Ben Affleck, accused of tampering.
Wow.
I would even say Steph Curry and his dominance continues.
There you go, Curry.
We were talking about yesterday how he has to get in the playoffs and maybe a potential meeting with the Jazz if they hold on to the eighth spot. Well, he had a game winner last night against the Jazz.
Yeah, the race with Bradley Beal and Steph Curry for the scoring title this year.
Hey, we got so much to get into coming up here in the second hour. That's just a little bit of a tease, but don't go anywhere because we got a banging hour coming up next.